Hey, good day, everyone. I'm Rob Espero with the Viral Volley Podcast, and it is truly a great honor and privilege to have Megan and Nicole McNamara. And as I've said the names, that's who they are. Left, your left is Megan. On the right is Nicole, unless they switched while I blinked. but obviously, you know, they're back-to-back national champions at UCLA Beach Volleyball, and they're in Canada right now. So I appreciate them taking the time here on the Viral Volley Podcast and, you know, just to spend the time this afternoon.
Thanks for having us.
Hey, you know, with this being your first full professional season, obviously being changed up due to a worldwide pandemic, what were your thoughts and emotions as you went through this first pro season?
So at the very beginning, it was definitely really disappointing because we went through our first full off-season training with Team Canada. We felt like we were, you know, in some of the best shape of our life. We were playing well, and we were super excited to see how we fared on the world stage. So having that all kind of be taken away was really disappointing at first. But then as time went on, it kind of sunk in, and
you put things in perspective a little bit.
Yeah, and we're grateful to be at home in Vancouver with our family, and we got to spend some time with, you know, our dog who's really old and our grandparents. So that part was actually really nice.
Now, are there like any adjustments that you had to make to your lifestyle and your training based on this COVID culture is what I've been calling it?
Yeah. So when everything was fully shut down, we did all of our workouts at home, and we were really lucky. One of our close friends from Vancouver has a beach volleyball court in her backyard. Mm-hmm. So when even the beaches were closed, we were practicing a little bit in her backyard with our current roommate and her. And so we were able to keep our touch on the ball a little bit and stay active and stay sane more than anything. So we just tried to implement as much of a routine as we could considering the circumstances. But I mean, it changed everyone's training environment.
Oh, believe me, I've seen what people have been having to do just to get any kind of touches. Now, just for our listeners who aren't as familiar with Volleyball Canada, where is the national team based, and where are you in relation to the facilities or the training center?
So the national team is based in Toronto. We grew up in Vancouver and our parents are still there. But so we moved out to Toronto to be closer to the center and train full time.
Oh, wow. So you are there a lot of athletes in the area right now then training, even given what's happening in the world right now?
Yeah, most of them are fully based out of Toronto. So there's a good group of girls that we were practicing with in the summer when we came back to Toronto in June. And we're actually back training with our national federation. It's opened up the training center. So we are going four times a week right now. And there's some COVID like things in place to make sure that the virus doesn't spread because there has been a rise in cases lately, but we're just very lucky to be able to have that routine. And gyms are closed though. So we've been doing some at-home workouts. They sent us home with some plates and kettlebells, and we're doing our best to lift without disrupting our downstairs neighbors.
Lifting each other up, right? Doing squats, holding the scissor. Now, are you having to play with masks on the court when you've been training, at least doing the on-court stuff? Or since you're closed off with just each other and the same people, are you able to go without masks?
So we aren't wearing masks. The coaches are wearing masks. And we have the same training bubble every day. So, and also there are some other rules. Like we're only really doing drills. We aren't doing as much gameplay because they're worried about kind of the blocker and the hitter being too close and exhaling. So we haven't really been doing much of that, but it's been mostly just skill work.
Well, let me ask you about the rest of Volleyball Canada. You know, before going on, we had talked about how the team of Sarah Pavan and Melissa Humano Paredes have already qualified for the Olympics for Team Canada. And you clarified that Brandy and Heather would be the number two spot. But what is your role as a team with Volleyball Canada in helping them prepare for the 2021 Tokyo Olympics?
Yeah, so we're ranked third in Canada right now. And last year we shared a coach with Heather and Brandy. So we were lucky we got to practice with them quite a bit, but now they're working with a coach out of Brazil. So they're spending the fall training down there. And I guess our level, we're on the B team. So the development team with Team Canada, and then the top two teams are considered the A team.
Now, you have to be getting some pretty good practice time with the kind of talent that Canada has. And one of the things that I've realized is there is like an influx of solid Canadian talent that's coming down to play in collegiate beach or actually at NCAA tournaments and NCAA schools. And I feel like that you and Nicole and or Megan were spearheading that, because I don't think a lot of us got to see the talent that was in Canada until you broke the stage at UCLA your freshman year. Would you say that's an accurate assessment?
It is pretty cool to see. Like, it's amazing that NCAA coaches are coming up to Toronto and Vancouver and are scouting and checking out the talent that we have up here. And so many girls are committed to play in the U.S. Like, even being down at the beach this summer, and there were girls committed to top schools. It's amazing.
Now, do you is there a particular area in Canada where you're finding the talent is coming from? Like, obviously you're from British Columbia, but I know that there are other people in different areas where some of the top indoor programs are. What are your thoughts on where the talent's coming from?
There's definitely a much larger population in Toronto. So a lot of girls in Ontario are committed to go play in the States. Vancouver, there's a pretty big beach scene, but definitely just not as many people.
In Toronto. Big beach in Toronto.
I know. Does it make sense? Does it? Yeah. Well, the beach we play at, there's just like 100 courts like all lined up, and it's busy all summer. Well, it usually is, not this year, but yeah, there's a lot of girls playing.
Now, just on more of the, for competition purposes, is there still like tournaments being held right now, or is that still kind of off limits while COVID has been happening?
No tournaments.
So it's pretty locked down for you guys.
Yeah, we're pretty limited.
Oh, wow. So it's basically the people you're training in your training bubble with, and that's basically your contacts now.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much. That's why we were so excited to go and play in the Netherlands.
Well, that's actually a great segue to my next question. You know, your first full season, the first event that you played in is a De La Beach in the Netherlands in Breda, September 4th through 6th. How did you prepare for that if you were limited in what you could do, at least competitively wise, on court?
Yeah, so all summer we weren't training with Team Canada. We were just doing our own thing with some of our friends on Team Canada. We would meet down at the beach and practice a little bit. I'll be honest and say it was a little bit more casual than the training that we're used to. Yeah. So when we got the call to go to the Netherlands, it was about a month out, and we were like, okay, it's go time. So then we started working with our coach almost every day, and we were hitting it hard in the gym, and we really, worked hard that month, and we were in pretty good shape by the Netherlands.
Did you feel like that you were able to get back in rhythm with each other? I know everyone says, well, you're sisters. That's not a problem. But I mean, obviously it's different in a court setting where you just find each other, you feel each other out, and you get into a rhythm. Was there a challenge, or did you pretty much, was it like riding a bike and you were right back in it?
Like riding a bike. We never were lucky. Yeah. We never really have to worry about being in rhythm because we're just so in sync with each other that like the minute we step on the court, it's like we're connected and we kind of know what's happening. And yeah.
Good. Well, let's go into pool play. You went 1-1 in your pool, going to a third set tiebreak with Emma Piersma and Puk Stube of Netherlands with a 15-13 win in the third. Pretty intense pool play. Can you talk about what that was like going into that, saying, well, we flew all the way out here. If we lose this one.
Yeah, it was a strong tournament. There were a lot of good teams. And yeah, I remember that game. It was really close. But it's, even though we hadn't, it was our first tournament in almost a year. But just as soon as we're playing, like,
well,
the competitiveness kicks in, and it feels like, yeah.
Yeah, well, it seemed like you really got going, because you advanced to the quarterfinals and you knocked out, and I was like, I was taken aback by this, two-time Olympians from Spain, Elsa and Liliana, and you kind of beat them down. It was 21-16 and 21-13.
Yeah, we were feeling good that game. Yeah.
Now, what was happening? Because, I mean, funny enough, I just happened to come across video of them playing at the World Series of Beach Volleyball in 2017, and it was phenomenal seeing them play. But they're at such an intense level. I'm not saying that you don't have that ability, but to get hold them of 16 and 13, that's a pretty intense performance by you two.
Yeah, it showed us that what we had been working on all offseason was starting to work, which was really exciting. Yeah, that was a good game.
Now, did you find that are you seeing a large difference in the level of play versus what you were seeing at UCLA and on an international level?
Oh, big time, yeah. Just girls are jumping higher, hitting harder. It's a faster style of play. So that was definitely a big adjustment last year after we graduated and started playing some of the top tournaments. So We worked a lot in the off season on better ways that we can adapt. So yeah, it definitely showed at those two tournaments that we went to in the Netherlands that our training, we were doing the right things.
Yeah. Well, you ended up going into the semifinals for a sister versus sister matchup, Netherlands, Emmy Vendrell and Maxime Vendrell, and two tight ones, 18-21, 21-23. And it looks like it could have gone either way. Did you feel your conditioning was up to par to advance that deep into the tournament, or just they got you?
I remember that game. We couldn't really get anything going. Like, we kind of started to towards the end of both sets, but
it was too late.
Yeah, they were a good team. And if I'm being honest, I remember both of us were just so exhausted. Like, I think we slept like 11 hours the night before. We're like, our bodies are like, what are you doing to me right now? But they were a good team. And they had a really good performance at King of the Court as well.
Well, gosh, I almost feel like we're super connected, because that's another segue into the next tournament, which you're playing in, which is the King of the Court in Utrecht, Netherlands, which was the following weekend, September 9th through 12th. In phase one, both of you ended up getting second in your group on top of the teams like Sweden's Heidrick Verge Dupre and Emily Day and April Ross. Seems you found your rhythm early in this tournament, and it's King of the Court, so it's it's a different format. How did you find adjusting to that style of play, especially with such talent that in your pool?
We love that format. Like, we love playing Queen of the Court. It's funny, some of our teammates were saying, oh, you'll thrive in that format. So the format was great. And we really fed off of like the atmosphere. It was, I don't know if you saw any videos, but it was like a nightclub, like the blasting music.
Your Instagram story made it look like it was a rave.
Yeah, that's what it felt like. But yeah, it was good because we didn't let that distract us. We kind of like fed off of that and the energy of the crowd. And we were just like in flow that first round. It was really cool.
Now, with that kind of tournament setting, though, I mean, can you get starstruck because of the talent that was there? I mean, I know some teams had to pull out due to COVID concerns. Like, for instance, Tina Gradina had the false positive test, which is such a bummer.
I know.
So I would have loved to have said, I know the McNamara's and I know Tina and they're playing. But what's it like being able to go up against basically the top athletes in the world?
We were pretty starstruck. It's a funny story. So the day before we were going to play, we wanted to sign up to practice and there were two different options. And one of them had Ludwig, Duda and Agatha and April Ross, and we weren't really sure which one to pick. Megan's like, you know what? We are going to get out of our comfort zone and we are going to practice with some of the best players in the world. And I think that being around them at practice really helped us get into a good mindset for the game, being more comfortable.
Yeah. Oh, and one of the things I noticed about I was watching the play. I mean, at this point, I was like, I just got to watch volleyball. And even better that you guys are next, I can say, I know them. But I noticed that I believe, Megan, you were serving or out of the right side, or you were playing right side, and Nicole, you're on the left. Was that just for that first serve rotation? And then when you went across this court, you guys went to your natural sides? Or is that just...
I think you may have got mixed up, because I think we stuck on our own sides.
Oh, because it looked like, well, unless you swung with your left hand, I felt like one of the times I was trying to observe where you were at on the court and what you're doing, because I know the strategy has to change a little bit in some cases for some of the teams. For some reason, I thought you switched sides until you went across the court.
Oh, that's funny. We've definitely done that before. But
well, then my bad. I should be paying more closely attention to that then.
It's okay. We look pretty similar.
That's right. You guys, your costume was pretty intense this year. You went as a Norse twins. That's,
yeah, that's a funny comment.
Oh, they dug that too. So glad they have a great sense of humor. Well, let's jump to the group stage C. Now, your pool was intense. Agatha Duda, the Vandriel sisters, and Kozich and Laura Ludwig got fourth, but you still managed to go into the playoff round. Was there a lot more pressure for you to perform? I mean, like, you can say, look who we played. We could take that. But what kind of pressure did you put on yourselves in that bounce back in the playoff?
Did a pretty good job of not putting pressure on ourselves, because we were just so grateful to be there, that, and it was so fun and just such a great experience. We were like, you know what, let's just play and, you know, see what happens. But we definitely had a good round, that playoff round. I think towards the end, that Czech team got pretty close and we were pretty nervous, but we were so happy to have moved on.
Wasn't that playoff round had two Czech teams in there, Hermanova and Slukova, and then the I'm going to say it wrong.
Kubikova
and Vapilova. So basically, you were the Czech's worst nightmare because you knocked both of them out.
Yeah.
Well, then which advanced you to the semifinal. And obviously, you know, usually you were thankful to be there. And you could tell just what the way you looked playing on the court, that you were having a great time. But you ended up getting Agatha Duda again, Kelzer Mepelink, Megati and Toth, and Placete and Richard of France. I don't know the French team, but the other three are very highly recognizable names in the world. Yeah. And the fact that you were in that semifinal had to be one of the landmark accomplishments so far out of for your professional career.
Yeah, I mean, we weren't expecting to do that well, so we were really pumped to have made it that far. It was awesome.
Any other closing thoughts on your first official year on the Pro Tour? What you've taken away from this limited experience, but it's still a professional experience nonetheless.
I just hope they have more King of the Court tournaments next year. Yeah, that's a big takeaway. Yeah.
Well, I think that's a good place to break. I'm here with Megan and Nicole McNamara of Volleyball Canada and back-to-back beach volleyball champions at UCLA, and just a great all-around people to chat with wherever we're at. Be right back on the Viral Volley Podcast in just a moment. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Viral Volley Podcast. I'm here with Megan and Nicole McNamara, former back-to-back UCLA beach volleyball champions who are now playing with Team Canada. They're in Toronto, in Canada, and they've decided to join me this afternoon. Thanks for taking the time again, ladies.
Thank you for having us.
We talked about your first official year on the professional tour, and now I wanted to talk about your background in UCLA reflections, because so I have a special connection to both of you. The first play-by-play that I've done on a streaming broadcast, you guys were my match. It was Flow Volleyball was streaming. I get it confused. It was either you, is a tri-duel with Pepperdine and USC up at at Zuma, or it was at Long Beach State against, is another tri-duel with LMU, yourself, and Long Beach State. So, and I was on the number one court streaming your matches. So I was definitely finding my way, and it was tough. I was trying to learn which twin was which.
And yeah.
And then the 13 and 31 didn't help either. So
yeah, that was Stein's idea.
Well, there, a lot of people are copying you guys, Norse twins. No.
It's a good strategy.
Yeah. So hey, I wanted to hit you up and find out, how did each of you start playing volleyball? Was it a together thing? Did you guys kind of do it separately? I mean, you always have to wonder with twins, because you guys have your own personalities, and do you break away? Do you try to rebel, or you just like get on board with each other?
So we started playing together. We were, I think, 9 or 10 on vacation in Mexico, and just kind of passed the ball around and really loved it. And it all kind of came from there. We signed up for some camps in Vancouver, and it was always together. We didn't really venture far from each other back then. But yeah, we kind of just picked it up playing locally in Vancouver. And once we heard about NCAA, I think we were 13, and we saw there was an AVCA collegiate beach volleyball thing on TV. And we were like, that's so cool. We would love to play.
Yeah, our decision was made at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was it always beach, though? It was never indoor? Because I thought I saw that you had like an indoor state championship for your high school as well. Mm-hmm.
We loved indoor. We played all from grade 7 through to grade 12, and we won. It's called provincials in mm-hmm. Canada. So our high school team won provincials
4 years in a row.
Mm-hmm. The South Delta Dynasty, they called it.
Yeah.
Which is pretty awesome. Yeah. And we played club also, but Megan didn't play grade 12 because she had a bad back. But we were sad to give it up because we did love it, but our hearts were always with beach. Yeah.
Did both of you play opposite of each other indoors, or did you play different positions?
So I was right side and Megan was left side.
I thought maybe they'd want to keep you guys at the opposite pins of each other, you know?
Yeah.
So they have one cannon at all times in the front row.
Yeah. I was setter sometimes, but I would only set Megan, and coaches wouldn't like that. So they had to move her out of that position.
That's weird. Megan has 275 attempts and everyone else has
three.
Yeah,
exactly.
So what drew you both to the beach game instead of pursuing the indoor game? Because, you know, your skills obviously can translate into the indoor game because your passing is great and your technique seems to be pretty sound. Especially being, as good as you guys were, I think you could have done both.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, we just loved the dynamic of just having the two of us out there on the court. Like she said, if I was passing, I'd, pass to Nicole, she'd set me, and it just kind of, like, coach would always be like, okay, there's other girls on the court, you have to include them. So being able to like be just the two of us was really cool.
Involved in every rally, and
yeah, we loved that part of it. And also just the lifestyle, playing outdoors on a beach, like, what's not to like?
Oh, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then of course this brings me to the next question. You obviously were good enough to come to UCLA and play for Stein Metzger. How'd you end up connecting and attending UCLA to pursue your careers?
So we hired Kara Hill. I don't know if you've heard of her. I think it's My Recruiting Solutions.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So they edited a highlight video for us, and they had connections at all the schools and emailed all of the coaches. And we went down to a couple tournaments in California and just let mm-hmm. the coaches know that we'd be playing. And we had a few different offers, but on that trip, we visited UCLA and like within 10 seconds of walking around the campus, like we knew, our parents knew, they said that they could tell instantly that we wanted to go there.
Wow. So you had your sights set on UCLA at the get-go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. We loved the school spirit, and the academics was great. The athletics, like everything, the location, it ticked all of the boxes. Yeah.
Now, when you said you played in tournaments, were they juniors tournaments, or were you playing like an AVP Next tournaments, or what were they?
It was a high performance.
The HP
championship under 19, I think.
Oh, for Canada?
No, it was called like the USA Volleyball High Performance Championships.
Oh,
so it was a youth tournament. It was a long time ago.
Isn't Hermosa, right?
Yes. Yes. It was, when was that? Like 2013, maybe?
Yeah.
A long time ago.
Well, it's that famous month in July where every single beach volleyball coach basically lives in Hermosa Beach, Santa Monica, or Manhattan. So,
yeah.
Wow, that's quite a score for Stein and UCLA. Now, obviously going to UCLA, you started your first year there and you had a tough go, but that's to be expected for a freshman team. But you trended upward every single year after that. Each of the years you were there, you were at Gulf Shores. And mm-hmm. one of the teams that was the early bane for you guys was Florida State those first two years.
Gosh.
Like, what were your memories of the first 2 years of playing Gulf Shores for, potentially a national championship, and being as young as you were, playing in the number ones, if my stats were, or the news releases were correct? I was trying to remember if you still stayed in the number ones that entire season or those two seasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did. Yeah. Our first year, I remember getting to Gulf Shores was so awesome. And it was so great for Stein as well. And the whole time, like, we started out and had a really good year. And I think that year we were continually like exceeding people's expectations because UCLA hadn't made nationals in the past. So it was, yeah, people knew that we like had some good talent, but it was the first year that things, I think, clicked for UCLA beach volleyball. And mm-hmm. then, yeah, it just really like trended upwards. Like you said, like it got better every year.
Well, I knew that something special was going to happen with you guys. Cause even as freshmen, you were giving a team by the name of Sarah Hughes and Kelly Clays a hard time, even in those first few duels that I worked on those streams. The fact that you're hanging tight with them and they were pretty much beating everyone down pretty handily. Mm-hmm. That spoke a lot of the talent and then just where you were and where you ended your careers at UCLA. Where, like, how do you feel UCLA and the coaching staff had contributed to your development as professional athletes?
A lot. It was, yeah. Stein and Jenny are great coaches and we definitely learned a lot from them. And both of them having been to the Olympics too, they just had so many great stories to share with all of us and taught us so much about being a high level athlete, how to take care of yourself and manage yourself at tournaments. So mm-hmm. even off the court, we learned a lot from them. Mm-hmm. And UCLA, just there were so many resources available to us at all times, like between the physio and the weightlifting training. Mm-hmm. Like it was a really great environment. And yeah, I would definitely attribute a lot of our success to that.
Well, Triple J is just plain cool. So.
Oh, yeah.
Jenny Johnson Jordan, she's such a rock star.
Yeah, people said she was the glue to the team.
We had some great volunteer coaches along with that, too, with Irene Pollock, and congratulations on her new baby. Jeremy was after because you guys had graduated already. So yeah, there's some great volunteers there on that staff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we really clicked with all three of them. Yeah, they were all great. Sean Fallowfield, Irene, and Jeff Alzina. Yeah,
that's right. How could I forget Jeff Alzina?
Yeah, Jeff was great. He actually was one of the first coaches that has really been able to like understand our sister dynamic and the challenges that that can bring on. And because he worked with the Crab Brothers. Yeah, so that was very valuable for us. And also he kind of introduced the play sets, which is such an integral part of our game now.
The red, white, and blue?
Yeah. Colors. Yeah. Because we had
worked on you're Canadian. It's white, black, and red. Come on, get it right.
Yeah. We have so many colors now. Yeah. Just wait.
Well, yeah, it's, I don't think a lot of people know this about Jeff, but so he has his master's in education, was a teacher, and is super into psychology. But on top of that, he also knows game strategy. It's amazing. Yeah, I actually sat and watched a match. I almost want to say it's one of your guys' matches and the way he's breaking it down, but he also has one of the greatest sense of humors. And he's like, calling your flaws out.
he was honest. Yeah.
He's like, oh, wow. He just ripped in the Sarah Sponsel too. But I mean, it's definitely, he's such a great coach because he knows how to connect with his athletes. And mm-hmm. I think that goes with all the UCLA staff as well. Mm-hmm. Going into your third year at UCLA, you guys got a little revenge on Florida State that year because that was your first national championship and you beat Florida State in that final. How is it like when you finally got to hoist that trophy and nab that first national championship for UCLA in Collegiate Beach?
I remember it being just such a surreal feeling because having worked so hard for it for 2.5 years and for it to finally happen, like,
yeah,
it didn't really fully sink in for a while. It was just like, felt like we were floating.
Yeah.
But to beat Florida State too, that just felt so good because they knocked us out 2 years in a row, which is never fun.
Those elimination matches definitely leave a sting.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Well then in 2019, 3-0 against USC in the final. And I mean, I watch as much as I could. I was actually working at VNL at one of the sites for USA Volleyball. I had that screen up while I was working the match. So I was like, I got to see him play, you know. But what you guys did was really special. Back-to-back champions. And USC had just, if I remember correctly, they defeated you towards the end of the 2019 season.
Like one three of the final, times in a row, I think. Yeah, two or three times in a row, pretty handedly.
I was like, what happened there? I mean, it's not to say they're not talented. They had your number. Or yeah, not you two, but UCLA's number. They just were winning at the right time. But you guys really dug deep and were able to get them three and out. It just seemed like it was a super strong performance in that championship match.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All of our teams were just on fire that day, which was great timing. But yeah, I remember after, I don't know if it was 2019 or 2018, but someone said we may have lost the battle, but we definitely won the war.
No, that was 2019.
That was 2019. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, is there, I got to ask, over your career, your collegiate beach careers, was there a particular opponent that you enjoyed playing the most, or opponents?
Definitely loved playing against Tina and Abril.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're both great players. Tina's
lovely girls off the court too. So it was nice. That they're so nice, but we also had like, we could be so competitive on
competition.
The court. Yeah.
Yeah. Is that for both of you? Tina and Abril?
Yeah, they're fun to play against.
There's such a great crew over there. Tina, you know, and also following Tina, now she's now, well, an Olympian for Latvia, but, you know, seeing her play abroad, it's like, I love seeing that you have the potential of playing each other again on the international level.
I know, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's too bad she wasn't at King of the Court.
Yeah.
Well, I know that you guys will cross paths again easily. Final question for you here is, at what point did both of you decide to pursue an international professional career after UCLA?
I don't really remember it being a question or a decision. I feel like we just always, it was always the plan. Like our goal from when we first started playing beach volleyball was to go to the Olympics. So everything along the way has just been a stepping stone to that. So it wasn't even really a decision. We just,
we had some really great coaches right when we started playing when we were 13, and they were big into goal setting,
mm-hmm.
long-term vision, and all of that manifesting. And I came across a note I wrote like when I was maybe 15 or 16, and I like had written that I want to go and play in the United States for university, and then I want to play for Team Canada. And it was just like really cool to see that way back then I was like envisioning this to be my life.
Yeah, that's cute. Do you know Kira Ioni? She's the coach at she was the coach at University of Alabama Birmingham.
Well, actually, no, I did meet her. Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. So she's our personal coach.
Oh, okay. Oh, no way. It's funny that you'd mention that, Megan, because I recall I interviewed Haley Washington, middle blocker for USA Women's National Team. She did something very similar. She just got into the gym, wrote her goals. I want to be an Olympian for USA and get a gold and play professionally. So,
cool.
Setting the sights nice and early.
Yeah.
Well, I actually had one more question after this because I've been wanting to ask this, and then I just think it'd be funny, but have you guys played with anyone else ever? Or have you always played with each other that you know of?
So I played a few games with Jordan Anderson our second year because Nicole was, I had really bad allergies and I would get sinus infections all the time, and really bad ones that would turn into like a fever. So that happened a couple times in season. I think I was allergic to LA. So I played with Jordan for a few games, which was really fun. She was a good player. Other than that, we not really.
At practice, maybe, but we always just play together.
Would you tell me if you did? No. Oh, no, she's going to beat me. She found out my secret. Because I do remember one duel that I saw you guys. It was one of you. I can't remember which one you didn't play. But it may have been just a fall training of some kind. But it just was kind of weird not seeing you playing together.
Right. Or that was, I got shoulder surgery also. Second
That's
year.
What it was.
So that was the beginning of junior year. I didn't play in that fall season. Yeah.
Yeah, I thought, I'm like, oh, I hope everything's okay. But, you know, everything's better and you came back strong for that season.
Yeah, exactly.
So what's on the docket here for these next few months until hopefully the next FIVB season starts up? That's usually February, March for you guys.
Yeah, we're just going to be training and preparing as if there's going to be a season and just hope for the best.
Yeah.
And then I noticed that both of you are extensive, we'll say culinary artists. Your Instagram posts of your food look amazing. I just don't know how you guys stay in shape with all that wonderful food around.
Oh my gosh. We cook pretty healthy.
Yeah.
It's all plant-based.
Yeah.
all about balance.
Well, on all the podcasts, I've been asking my guests, given the times we're in, just to say, have an opportunity to share any words of encouragement for the times that we're going through, because they're still pretty uncertain. But I think that, from an athlete mindset and that athletes can provide good encouragement as we go through these challenges of these new times. So I want to give you a chance to share a thought or an encouragement.
I think just try to stay connected to loved ones in this, like, especially with what's going on in the world right now, just having the quality time and connecting with people. That's been the biggest takeaway for us. Like, we've been nurturing all of our relationships, and
yeah,
it's a way to stay positive for sure.
Yeah. Just trying your best to stay positive. There have definitely been some ups and downs, but just got to see the light at the end of the tunnel and, keep yourself sane as best as you can.
Well, it looks like you guys are doing a great job, because I just feel like that even amidst everything that's happening, that you guys are right where you need to be, and you have a great outlook. So, hey, everyone, this is Megan and Nicole McNamara, UCLA back-to-back national championships, champions, and now playing for Team Canada, and hopefully one day playing for Team Canada in the Olympics, because they definitely got the talent to do it. Thanks for the time, ladies. I appreciate you coming on.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us.